listening to the preaching ministry of Redeemer Fellowship in Eugene, Oregon. And now, here's today's message from God's Word.
It was on happy days when we were up there on the hills, the three of us, with the wind and the sunshine. Do you remember? The color and the smell, and looking across at the gray mountain in the distance. And because it was so beautiful, it set me to longing, always longing. Somewhere else, there must be more of it. Everything seemed to be saying, come. The sweetest thing in all my life has been the longing. To reach the mountain, to find the place where all the beauty came from. Do you think it all meant nothing, all the longing for home? For indeed, it now feels not like going, but like going back. So that's an excerpt from C.S. Lewis's fictional work, his story called Till We Have Faces. And in this portion, in this one in particular, we have a woman whose name is Psyche. She's speaking to her sister, Oroel. And Psyche is in prison. She's awaiting her execution as she's a sacrifice to the gods. And what Psyche is trying to do is reassure her sister she's not afraid of death, but views it as an entry to a new world, a place where all her happiest moments in life were pointing to. It now feels not like going, but like going back. And we might add, back to a garden. Let's set our minds on the things above this morning by turning to Colossians 1, 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, as we conclude our Advent series with the echo of eternity. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. In your pew Bible, it is on page 984. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The story of Psyche and Oroel, they remind me of humanity's story. We live in a world of echoes. Echoes that exist in each single person that's seated here this morning. There's an echo of home that every single person has been searching for. The story of humanity aches for a return to that home, that garden that we lost. Our first parents sinned against God. God banished us from his presence. God was far from us. And as we've seen in the book of Ecclesiastes, I keep coming back to this, he has placed eternity in the heart of men. One of the big questions of our existence is, where am I going? As healthy or dysfunctional of a home that each one of us have grown up in, either way, we have yearned for a better home. A longing to return, not just to a place, but a place where all things are bright and all things are beautiful, a place where the eternal God reigns in his perfect eternal king. We long for that. Humanity aches for that. You may this morning ache for that home. I ran across this quote that's been circling social media, and it's attributed to a novelist named Melissa Cox. And just hear the echo of eternity in Miss Melissa Cox. She writes, "I am homesick for a place I'm not sure even exists. One where my heart is full, my body loved, and my soul understood." And we hear the whisper of God echo, "I have placed eternity in the heart of Melissa Cox." How many of us, in the quiet and solitude of a lonely night, have echoed these sentiments? How many of us, in experiencing the best things that this earth has to offer in food, travel, sex, friendship, have still felt something is missing? C.S. Lewis also said, "There was something we grasped at in the first moment of longing, which just fades away in the reality. Something has evaded us." If you remember, this homesickness is a part of my story as well. A 12-year-old boy sitting on a hillside in Payette, Idaho. I remember the sky was painted with sparse clouds. The landscape was laced with bright browns and subtle greens. The tall grass danced at the command of the breeze, and I remember the feeling that possessed me, a feeling that I would describe as everything seemed to mean just a little bit more. And I also remember thinking, I don't ever want this to end. That was an echo of home, a memory that's bound to my spirit that acted like this preview of a real world. So all of these stories, Psyche, Orwell, Melissa Cox, myself, and your story included, they speak of this story of humanity, the story that shapes us, that helps us make sense of our stories. I, along with all of you in this Advent series, in Advent season, we ache in these echoes of eternity with all of our villains and our losses and our yearning for a hero who has promised, "Behold, I am making everything new." Jesus didn't just come to make men better. The hero came to make you new. And this is the story of Advent. Jesus has come, Emmanuel. God is not far from us. God is now here with us. He's in our presence right now. The Lord Jesus reigns, and he is alive today with us. Home came to you. And by faith in him, you died, and your lives are now hidden with Christ in God. So let's go back to the beginning of this grand story briefly, and we'll briefly make our way through the present, and then we will set our minds on what the future has for us. There are pages already written in your story that you have not read. And what will they say? We open the grand story in the first chapters of the Bible in a garden, where a man and woman who were made pure, they ate from a tree they were commanded by God, "Don't eat." Paradise was lost. Fellowship with one another and with God was broken. Death reigned through that one man. But then a certain promise was fulfilled thousands of years later, Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. God is with us. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The hero enters the world that he made. Jesus enters the story that he has written. Jesus would live this perfectly obedient life to God in that story, and he would usher in the kingdom of God by giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and life to the dead. The King of heaven broke into the kingdom of darkness and proclaimed this good news: God has arrived. He is here. But then this perfect man would enter into another garden in perfect submission to God. And he too would be driven from that garden to be nailed to another tree for our sake, for our sins. He would be crucified. He would be a curse for us. His blood shed, and he would die. And you just imagine the devil and the demons at this point. They think, I've snuffed out the light of the world. My work is finished in crucifying the Son of God. But 3 days later, our hero would rise victoriously over death. He would walk outside that tomb, and he would be raised anew. Complete. The "it is finished" echoes into eternity. That is the good news story. That is the story that's now presented to every single person here. By faith in that hero, in that Jesus, our old nature and our old identity that was filled with sin and shame and guilt, that would die. And our lives are now presently hidden with Christ in God. And all that is God's is all that is Christ, and it's all that is ours because we're in him. That's present reality. That is your story. And the best is yet to come. By faith, you will be raised new with him. Imagine, some might say, you actually believe that? I mean, you seem like an educated guy. You think you're going to be raised from the dead? How could I not believe that? Absolutely, 100%, I believe it. It's not just words we say every week, and one day we too shall rise. We will rise. This Advent season becomes an invitation into that story with the chapters full of happily ever after. There are pages written in your stories that are yet to be discovered by you. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, this Advent story, the celebration of Jesus' coming, it echoes his second Advent, his second coming. Jesus is coming again. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples, "If I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come again and bring you to myself." Home awaits. Newness awaits. Beauty awaits. A new man fit for a new country. In our hero's advent, the reign of God's kingdom was established. His power and his presence now grows in you, his church, and one day it will be completed in us as the capstone and the crown of his grand story with the hero at the center. Philippians 2:6. Though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be held onto, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. That's First Advent. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Second Advent. One day, and that day is growing ever so near. You can almost feel it in the times right now. That sky will crack open, and every single eye will have no choice but to look up. There will be a great sound that echoes through the universe, and all the dead will rise up, and they will bend their knee to the return of the great king. Genghis Khan, Ozymandias, Winston Churchill, Adolf Hitler, Albert Einstein, Andrew Tate, Mahatma Gandhi, Barack Obama, Donald Trump will all bend their knee before our King, and they will confess with their mouth, "Jesus is Lord." That's Second Advent. It is an advent that for some is the beginning of the end, and for others, the beginning of the beginning. Judgment and fire will burn away all that is impure and all who are impure. The devil will be cast down, sin will be expelled, and death will be no more. It will be the end of all evil. What do your future chapters look like? And what Jesus prayed, "Let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven," it will find its completion. Everything completely new. You who are hidden with Christ in God, you will be made new, completely new. Your heart full, your body loved, your soul understood, you will be home. We typically call this heaven, but it's more accurately called the new heavens and new earth. It's our destination. So let's set our minds there just for a few moments. Let's talk about this place called heaven. How do you think about heaven? I'll tell you how I thought about it. So for me, I grew up in a Christian home, and I heard about heaven, and quite frankly, I didn't want to go there. I remember seeing these cartoons with little fat cherubs. I've told you this many times. They have tiny wings, and they're playing harps and floating in the clouds, and typically what's portrayed in the cartoons is God as this old man. He's got a big, long white robe. He's got a big, long beard. He's holding a staff. He has a stern face, and he's making sure that nobody is having any fun. And I don't know if that's any of you, but for me, this afterlife seemed boring and unexciting. And part of this may be because I would hear occasionally that heaven is one big worship service. And as a kid, you're scared of that. So you kids might identify with this, because the only real reference point you have for worship service is Sunday mornings. And for me, the music was really old, and the piano was really out of tune, and the sermon was far too long. And Dad had to keep nudging me, stay awake. All I wanted to do was crawl under the pew and take a nap. I just thought, I've got to stay quiet. I can't joke around with my friends. Four walls, no windows, plain stage, stale lighting, and no food outside of this little crumb of a cracker and a little tiny plastic shot glass full of grape juice. Makes it like a garden gnome would drink from it. Yeah, I'll pass. It's big worship service, no thanks. That's how I thought. So for me, heaven was like a backup plan. And if when I died, I had to go somewhere, well, it's better than the alternative. But if I was honest, I'd rather just stay where I'm at. That was my thinking. And so the idea of heaven scared me. And I don't think that this is too foreign to maybe some of us as well. So you may say things like, well, I know that I'm supposed to say that heaven or the world is not my home, but I love my home. I have good friends. If you're young, I want to get married someday. I'd like to experience college. I want to live out my dream career and travel the world and see cultures. I don't want to give all this up to go to a big worship service. But this is not what is written in your final chapters. The author of life is not a bad author. He writes a future for you, a future that's filled with life, a home better than the one you have or the one you lost, with a garden brighter than the one in the beginning, with a tree more fruitful than the tree that was in the beginning, with a man in the middle of that garden far greater than the first man. You could turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. If you're wondering where it is, go to the last pages of the book. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. You think, Emmanuel. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Verse 22, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Verse 23, Verse 27. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. You who have died, you who are hidden, you who were raised with Christ, this home awaits. Beauty awaits. The face of God awaits. Is that boring to you? Is that uninteresting? What we have written in the future chapters of our stories, and indeed this grand story of all of humanity, when he appears, is not a spiritual-only world with no contours or vague matter. It's a new created world, a world where you will eat food from a table with new flavors. You will drink wine with new textures. You will work with hands that have been made new for a new type of building. You will create things in the world to come where no thorns will choke them out. Your future is a world full of light, beauty, fellowship, laughter, rejoicing, purity, and love of God who has called you son and daughter. Everything then will be made beautiful in its time, says Ecclesiastes. And there in the center of that city, there is a new garden. Our hero will take his rightful place upon this throne of power, and a new song will arise up from we, the redeemed of God, that echoes into the halls of eternity. Worthy is the Lamb. Is that boring? I would say only to the boring is that boring. This is a weight of glory far beyond all comparison. This puts the new heavens and new earth in perspective for us. I love what Randy Alcorn said. He has this big, thick book called Heaven. There's this little gem in there. I think this is what I took from all of that. We should stop referring to that world as the afterlife and start referring to this life as the before life. There is truly a happily ever after that awaits those who follow Christ. We can see this echo of eternity, the second advent, in many of the stories that we tell, like Psyche and Melissa Cox and my own story, every story alludes to this home. And Tolkien sure did this very thing in Lord of the Rings. There's one scene that's in the movie, The Return of the King. It's also in his book as well, that particularly stuck with me. As the evil orcs, the minions of Sauron, are all gathered and overwhelming the forces of good, Gandalf the White Wizard and Pippin the Hobbit, they take this temporary respite from battle. And Pippin, the hobbit, turns to Gandalf in what seems to be despair. And he says, I didn't think it would end this way. End? No. The journey doesn't end here. Death is just another path, one that we must all take. The gray rain curtain of this world rolls back and all turns to silver glass. And then you see it. What? Gandalf, see what? White shores and beyond. A far green country under a swift sunrise. Advent is your invitation into this story, into the pages that you have not yet discovered, where the hero entered the story, and in his death, he threw down death and the devil, and he invites us, come. Come into my story. Come and behold the book where you belong. This Advent, he invites you to merge your story with his story. Where sin, shame, guilt, death came into a garden with a tree, a story where the hero took our sin, shame, guilt, and death and nailed it to another tree, a story where death would be swallowed up in victory in his resurrection, a story where our hero brings us home to a new garden with a new tree, a home where he reigns and we will reign with him forever, a place where all the present beauty comes from. This Advent, set your minds there. Seek those things. Hold fast to that hope that one day, that colorful sky painted with sparse clouds and landscaped lace with brighter browns and deeper greens, and the tall grass dances from the very breath of God, and where every stone and blade of grass will mean more, and it will never end. Jesus calls you home. He calls you to that place. Come home. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.
We trust today's message has ministered to your soul. If you would like to support the ministry of Redeemer Fellowship, you can find us at www.redeemereugene.org/give. Or if you prefer, you can mail your donation to Redeemer Fellowship, 1210 Chambers Street, Eugene, Oregon, 97402. Until next time, may you be deliberately devoted to making Christ known.